Monster Man, episode 350, Witchglow to Yowler.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we'll be concluding our journey through the monsters section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. I know that during my interview with Ruth Tillman, I said that we'd be doing the undead section, but that is actually next time. I miscalculated. In today's episode, I'm going to be covering three monsters, just so that I don't have a one monster episode next time. And the first of these monsters is the Witchglow. The Witchglow is a little ball of light. It appears in dark spaces like underground caves or at nighttime, and it sort of bobs around mysteriously, and you would be forgiven for thinking that it's a bit like a will-o'-the-wisp, but there is where the resemblance ends. Witchglows are attracted to metallic objects, and they sort of draw some kind of electrical energy out of those objects, with the result that over a long period of time, they can reduce them to just a bunch of rust. So they're kind of like rust monsters in that respect, or at least insofar as they have, rust powers. There are quite a lot of oddities about the Witchglow, the first of which is that they're actually very intelligent. They have intelligence 15, which is much smarter than most humans. Remember that fewer modifications for attributes are available in older editions of D&D, so an intelligence of 15 is comparatively quite rare. So the Witchglow are certainly smarter than the average human. Which is weird, because they don't do anything that would suggest that. Their behavior, as described in this entry, is all about feeding, as though they were animals. They need this energy source, and they take this energy source, which is fair enough, but then why make them intelligent? They don't seem to have any way to communicate. They don't seem to have any agenda other than just getting food. It's very odd. Now, normally I would suspect that what's happening here is that the monster has been generalized from a particular encounter in which, the context helped it make more sense, but I don't think that the Witchglow, at least under that name, appears in a module. I've seen it suggested that this is an adaptation of the Will-o'-the-Wisp, which appeared in the Greyhawk supplement for OD&D. Now, if that is the case, I wonder if that means that the Greyhawk Will-o'-the-Wisp is quite different from the Will-o'-the-Wisp that we're familiar with from the Monster Manual, because that is not like this at all. It doesn't have the electrical angle, it doesn't have the rust. At least I think I'm remembering this correctly, that the Will-o'-the-Wisp is actually part of the Boggart life cycle. And furthermore, it doesn't really line up with the folkloric Will-o'-the-Wisp, which is of course a phenomenon that misleads travelers. So if this is what the Greyhawk Will-o'-the-Wisp is like, somebody can tell me, but it is a bit odd that it's this metal destroying, lightning bolt shooting, sort of, it's like a ball lightning, I wonder if that's tied into the idea of ball lightning. I do not have a copy of Greyhawk, so I don't know if the Greyhawk Will-o'-the-Wisp is like this. I would suggest that they changed it to Witchglow in order to avoid confusion with the Monster Manual Will-o'-the-Wisp, but that's for a different game, and again, as far as I'm aware, there isn't a Will-o'-the-Wisp in Beckmi, so it's all, just from start to finish, it's all a bit confusing. Next up, we have the Zytar. Now, I've actually mentioned the Zytar before because they tie into a monster that was in the Humanoid section, the Sisthic, or the Desert Scourge. And the Sisthics ride around on Zytars, which are big, six-legged, fire-breathing lizards. I don't know if this is a specific inspiration, but I get kind of a Barsoom vibe off the Zytar, and for that matter, off the Sisthic, in that they have some aspects of kind of, they're fire, like the Zytar are fire-breathing lizards, but it's not anything to do with dragons. They just seem kind of like exotic alien creatures. And that is borne out, I think, by the fact that they appear in DA3 City of the Gods, which, again, I haven't read it, but I'm given to understand that it has kind of a science fantasy theme, and lots of, science fantasy doodads, a bit like Expedition to the Barrier Peaks in that respect. I think the Zytar is fine. I don't know why they have six legs, but I like the additional piece of weirdness that stops them from being just kind of an inferior dragon. You can definitely imagine John Carter fighting a bunch of Sisthics riding around on Zytars or for that matter, He-Man doing so. Finally, we have the Yowler. Now, the Yowler is one of those monsters where the illustration and the description don't quite match up, because the illustration really just shows, you know, like a dog or wolf-like creature. But we're told the Yowlers have sort of flattened human-like faces, and when they all start, I guess, yowling together in a pack, they can cause fear. And this is because the Yowler is a renamed version of an AD&D monster, which is in turn a folkloric monster, which is the Yeth Hound. Now, the Yeth Hound is one of the many names for the sort of common British folkloric monster, the Black Dog, otherwise the Hound of Ill Omen, the Hell Hound, the Barghest. They're all just kind of sinister dog-like spirits, demons, ghosts, or whatever. I wonder if this was renamed simply because people don't really know what a Yeth Hound is. The sort of deep dives into folklore that are so typical of AD&D monster books don't seem to be happening here as much. And again, I wonder if there was a mandate to try and make basic Dungeons & Dragons a little bit more accessible for, you know, presumably for younger readers or for people who are less familiar with fantasy and fantasy gaming in general. Mind you, until I started doing this podcast, I don't think I could have told you that a Yeth Hound was a monster from British folklore, and I live in Britain. It was only when I read that long list of different types of fairy creatures that I discovered that that's where Yeth Hound came from. I knew it through gaming as well, so. But so yeah, it's fine. It's an evil dog-like monster. It's got glowing red eyes. It's got a terrifying howl. It's absolutely fine. I don't know that Yowler is a great name. Yowling and howling, although they sound very similar, are not quite the same. And yowling has, I think, a slightly different implication. One yowls in pain. You don't tend to set up a terrifying yowl. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But that's not initially what I think of when I hear the word yowl. Oh, well. Still, you know, regardless of the name, you can just change it back to being a Yeth Hound, and I think it's perfectly fine. All right, and that is it for the monsters section. In our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at a sort of post-war science fiction conceit as it applies to D&D. So we're going to be talking about space gods. And in the special episode after that, we're going to be taking a look at some undead wizards. I mean, I guess technically they're not wizards, as we look at the Deathlock. And then next week, we're going to be opening up the undead section of Creature Catalog. And so I hope that you'll join me then for all of those episodes right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.